This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. Our hour of old-time radio crime begins with Dragnet this week. We'll hear The Big TV, their story from March 2nd, 1954. After that, it's Philo Vance in the Deep Sea Murder Case, his story from August 9th, 1949.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Dragnet is brought to you by Chesterfield, made by Liggett and Myers, first major tobacco company to bring you a complete line of quality cigarettes.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a missing persons detail. You get a call that a young mother and a 9-month-old baby have disappeared. Routine investigation turns up the possibility of foul play. Your job, find them. Today, friends, you hear these three words everywhere. Chesterfield's for me. The Chesterfield you smoke today is the best cigarette ever made. Best for you, because Chesterfield gives you proof of highest quality, low nicotine, the taste you want, the mildness you want. Chesterfield is best for you because it's tested and approved by 30 years of scientific tobacco research. Chesterfield is best for you because it has an established good record with smokers, proven by test after test. Yes, friends, the Chesterfield you smoke today is the best cigarette ever made for the taste you want, the mildness you want. Join the thousands now changing to Chesterfield. Always say, Chesterfield's for me.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Tuesday, August 12th. It was warm in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of Homicide Division, missing persons detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Lorman. My name's Friday. We were on our way out from the office, and it was 10:14 a.m. when we got to 1865 Malabar Street. Manager's apartment.
Better try it again, huh?
Yeah.
Just a minute. I'm moving as fast as I can.
Sounds like she's got trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Ms. Fleischer?
Yeah, what do you want?
Police officers, ma'am. We'd like to talk to you.
Come in. I got to take care of that kid.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, ma'am.
Sit down. I'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Sounds like colic to me.
All right?
Yeah, sounds like colic. Wonder if she's got a hot water bottle.
What?
Hot water bottle. Put it on the kid's stomach. Makes him feel better.
Oh.
Both of ours had the colic. Wore out 3 hot water bottles.
On 2 kids?
No, Joe. We lost the stopper on one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Baby's teething, having a rough time.
Oh.
This is my partner, Frank Smith. My name's Friday. We'd like to ask you some questions about one of your tenants.
Oh, which one?
Mrs. Shipley. We understand she had apartment 207.
Yeah, she did. What about her?
You know where we can get in touch with her?
Ain't got any idea.
When'd you see her last?
Guess it must have been a month ago.
Possible you might be able to give us an exact date on that?
Well, if I could have done that, I'd told you right out. I got nothing to hide.
Well, we didn't mean to say that you had, ma'am.
Well, it sounded like it. Sounded an awful lot like it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yes, ma'am.
When Harriet first moved in here, we got along fine. She was all the time wanting me to tell her how to take care of the baby when it came.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Got along just fine. Used to have our little cup of coffee in the afternoon. Chummy. Then all of a sudden, it all got different.
Well, how was that?
Just did. Her husband was overseas. In the army. I guess Harriet missed him pretty much. Anyway, she was always saying how she did. Wished he could be here when the baby was born. Got terrible depressed.
I see.
Moody, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
I did what I could to cheer her up. Used to go up there and we'd sit and talk. Taught her how to knit. Gave her some needles and yarns, a little present. I thought maybe it'd give her something to think about. Kind of take her mind off her and her husband. Didn't do no good.
Well, how long had her husband been away, do you know?
4 months this time. He's over in Japan, I think, Army.
Mm-hmm.
Harriet used to go out once in a while, go down at the show. Seemed like just about every picture she saw made her sadder. I guess that's why she did it. Just got so sad she couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, what's that?
Tried to kill herself.
And Shipley?
Yeah. I got the kids in bed one night and went up there. I hadn't heard nothing from her that day, so I went up to see how she was. Good thing I did, too. Found her right there in the living room. She cut her wrists. Right away, I called for the doctor, and all the ambulances and police came running around. Took her to the hospital. Big deal. Guess I found her in time, though. They pulled her through.
Mm-hmm.
I walk up there and find her dying, that far from death's door, and when she comes home from the hospital, what thanks do you think I get?
I wouldn't know. Go ahead.
Nothing. Not a single solitary word do I get. She's mad. Says I should have left her alone, let her done it. Come in here when she got back and read me off in words that I ain't used to hearing.
Uh-huh.
I got 5 kids, mister. They take a lot of time, and I ain't got enough to go running around after nobody who don't thank a person for saving their life like that. I called it quits right then. Right at that minute, we were no longer friends.
Mm-hmm. When did she make the attempt on her life?
Last September. I don't remember the date. I think it was the second, maybe the third week. I'm not sure about what day it was. Anyway, after I saved her life, she's mad at me.
She have any people here in Los Angeles, would you know?
I never heard her talk of none. She's got a sister. I don't know, but I don't know where she is. Don't think Harriet ever said.
Well, what did she say to you when she left? Did she give you any idea where she was going?
I didn't even see her. She didn't even come by and say so long, goodbye, take a jump, nothing. She just left. One night she's here, next morning she's gone.
She get any mail while she was here?
Yeah. Once in a while she'd get a letter from her husband. Then there was a couple of letters from San Francisco. I don't know who they was from.
She take everything with her? All of her personal things?
Nothing. Left it all here. Of course, it's not much, but it's all here.
I see. Where are the things, ma'am?
Downstairs in the basement. I got it all put away in case she ever comes back. Gonna cost her, too. Storage and for me to pack it. I told you it isn't much. Some dresses, a few clothes for the baby, phonograph, a couple of records. That's about it. You can see them if you want to.
We'd like to take a look at them before we leave.
Yeah, sure thing. Can't let you take them, though. I gotta collect for the storage.
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Shipley have any close friends that you know of?
Well, not that I know of. Of course, she might have had some down at the Dream Palace.
Where's that?
Where she worked. Dance hall downtown. She was kind of hostess there.
Mm-hmm. That's the name of the place, is it? Dream Palace?
Yeah. She might have had some friends down there. None of them ever came here, though. At least if they did, I never saw them.
Do you know of any reason that she might have left in such a hurry?
Well, not right off, I can't think of one. There was something wrong with her, though, when she came back from the hospital. You know, when she had the baby, she was worried about something.
Would you know what it was?
No, all I know is that when she'd been home a couple of days, she came down here and asked me to do some work on the apartment. I told her if she wanted anything done, she could do it herself the way she talked to me.
Well, what'd she want done?
Silliest thing I ever heard of. She didn't have anything to steal.
Ma'am?
She wanted all the locks on the doors changed.
Ten forty-six a.m. In the company of the apartment manager, Barbara Fleischer, Frank and I went down to the basement and looked through the missing woman's effects. Other than the phonograph, several cardboard boxes of used baby clothes and cheap woman's dresses, we found nothing. There were no snapshots or letters to aid us in ascertaining where she might have gone. We asked Mrs. Fleischer to notify us in the event that she heard from the Shipley woman. We put in a call to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital and verified the story about the attempted suicide. 11:15 a.m. We checked the phone book for the address of the Dream Palace Dance Hall. It was on the second floor of a large building at the corner of 7th and Margot Streets. On the front of the building were several faded photographs of contest winners with the cups that they'd won and the name of the proprietor, Ernest Lasnik. We went upstairs. It was a large barn-like room with crepe paper birds hanging over the lights. In the rear of the place, at one of the tables, we found Lasnik. He was just eating his lunch.
Mr. Lasnik?
Yeah? What do you want? I'd
like to ask you some questions. We're police officers. My name's Smith. My partner, Sergeant Friday.
Hi.
How are you?
Won't shake hands. Got butter all over them. Sit down.
Thank you.
Care for a sandwich?
No, thank you.
Well, you do. Go right ahead. There's all the makings. Bread, butter, salami, pickles. Help yourself.
No, thanks, Mr. Lasnik.
You don't mind if I go ahead, huh? Bunch of kids coming in at 3:30. I'd like to get the place cleaned up before they get here.
No, sir, you go right ahead.
All right. What do you want to see me about?
It's about one of your employees, sir.
Yeah? Which one?
A girl named Harriet Shipley.
Oh, yeah, I remember. She don't work here anymore.
She doesn't work here anymore?
No. You
got any idea where she is?
No, I got the slightest. I ain't seen Nadine in about maybe 6 months.
No, sir, you don't understand. We're inquiring about a Harriet Shipley.
Yeah, I know. I told you. I ain't seen her in 6 months.
What's this about Nadine?
It's her club name.
Oh.
See, lots of girls don't like to use their real names. In case a fellow wants to get chummy away from here, it's easier if we don't know the girl's real name. Harriet used Nadine.
I understand.
You know, we got a bunch of them. When one of the girls leaves, we put the name back in a hat. New girl picks it. Had 14 Nadines since we opened.
Uh-huh.
27 Altheas.
Yes, sir. Do you have any idea where the Shipley girl is?
No. I might check her husband. He might know.
We understand he was in the Army.
Yeah, that's right. He is. Overseas. He should know where his wife is. I'll ask him.
Well, we'll probably do that, sir. We thought maybe we could turn her up ourselves.
Mm.
There's been a missing report filed on her.
Missing, huh? Who told it?
Sir?
Who told about her being missing?
The report was filed by her mother-in-law.
Mm. Well, I wish I could help you fellas out.
Now, last time you saw the Shipley girl, did she say anything about leaving town?
No. Wouldn't be surprised, though.
Why do you say that?
Well, poor kid was scared to death. Told me she wanted to get away.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what she was frightened about?
Yeah, Cliff Bender. That's what she was afraid of, Cliff.
Well, who's he?
Well, look, I'll tell you the whole thing. Be easier that way. One favor I gotta ask you.
Yes, sir?
You won't tell Cliff I told you. If he come up here, he can tear the place apart easy. You gotta promise me you won't tell him.
All right, sir, you go ahead.
Yeah, well, Nadine, Harriet, well, she came to work for me about a year and a half ago. Came in and told me she'd had some experience in a dance place in the Midwest. I don't remember the name right off. Probably come to me.
Yes, sir.
Well, I told her I'd try her, you know, sort of probation.
Yes, sir.
Well, it worked out fine. End of the week, I put her on permanent. She did real well. A lot of guys got to come in just to dance with her. Wouldn't have nobody else, just Nadine, or Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how she met Cliff. He come in one night, fell for her, and they started to go together. I told him I didn't like the idea of girls going out with the customers. Not good business. Didn't make any difference to them, though. They kept right on seeing each other.
That's this Bender fellow.
Yeah. Well, anyway, one night the soldier come in. He was took right away with Nadine. Asked her for a dance. Kept buying tickets all night so as he could dance with her. Come back the next night. Same thing. All night long, he danced with Nadine.
That's Harriet.
Yeah, that's right. Called her Nadine. You know, I told you about it.
Yes, sir.
Made Cliff plenty sore, but there wasn't anything he could do about it. She wanted to be with a soldier. It wasn't too long before she told him he was going to get married. Well, word got around about that. Really made Cliff hacked. Real hacked.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, him and the soldier, Shipley, had a fight downstairs one night after we closed. Guess Cliff waited for him and Nadine to come down. Anyway, it was a real brawl. Cops and everything. Cliff really cleaned up on the soldier. Didn't do any good to him.
What do you mean?
Nadine told Cliff to stay away from her. Keep far away. Told him that her and the soldier was going to get married and that they were through. She meant Cliff and her.
Uh-huh.
Well, the soldier and Nadine got married a couple days later and she quit her job. Right after that, I heard he went overseas and Cliff was around trying to break things up. Didn't do no good, though. Nadine loved the soldier and she planned to stay with him.
Yes, sir.
Well, I tried to talk to Cliff. Tell him to stay out of it. Mm-hmm. Leave the girl alone.
What was that?
I told him to leave the girl alone.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Didn't do any good. He was sure hot. He said that she was his girl. Might take some time, but he'd get her for running out on him. I figured he told her that, too. That's what she was afraid of. Don't blame her. Cliff told me that, I'd believe him.
What's that, sir?
That he was going to kill her.
p.m. After we'd gotten the names and addresses of the employees of the Dream Palace who knew the missing girl, Frank and I went back to the office. We had the names checked through the record bureau, but we found that only one of the 14 people on the list had arrest records. That one was a Cliff Bender, who'd been picked up on a charge of suspicion of burglary. However, according to the information on the report, he'd been released because of lack of evidence. We checked the log about the fight Lasnik had mentioned. We found that an FI card had been filed, but that no arrest had been made. We went over to room 45 and we talked with Sergeant Eggenweiler and Sergeant Rubles, the officers who'd handled the burglary case. They told us that in their contacts with Bender, he was sullen and uncooperative. They told us that he'd been seen in the company of known criminals. They also told us that in their opinion, they considered the man dangerous. We checked his last known address, but we found that he'd moved in July, leaving no forwarding address. While Frank and I checked out the rest of the missing girl's friends and acquaintances, Sergeant Graham and Cliff Bailey tried to check on Bender. We talked to everybody on the list we'd gotten from Ernest Lasnik, but none of them could give us any idea where we might find the Shipley girl. Most of them, however, told us about the threat that Bender had made against her life and expressed the opinion that he was responsible for her disappearance. The next day, Wednesday, August 13th, Frank and I went by communications, then we checked back into the office.
I tell you, the mother-in-law of that missing girl called again this morning?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, she wanted to know how we were doing, what progress we'd been able to make.
Well, what'd you tell her?
Well, I filled her in on what we found. I didn't tell her about Bender, though. Just said we thought we'd be able to find the girl.
Mm-hmm.
You talked to her when she made the original report, didn't you, Joe?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Well, how do you mean?
Well, isn't there something there that's a little off base to you?
I don't know what you're trying to get at.
Well, it just seems to me that she doesn't care if we find her daughter-in-law or not. All she cares about is the kid.
Well, yeah, I kind of got that idea myself. The way she talked, doesn't seem that she and the girl got along too well, does it?
No. Just seems like there's something she isn't telling us. I don't know what it is. I asked her this morning if she'd heard from her son, if he knew anything about where his wife might be.
What'd you say to that?
Well, she told me she didn't want to bother him, make him worry. Wouldn't even tell me his mailing address. Said she didn't want him alarmed unless there was a reason.
No, the way I see it, his wife being gone is reason enough.
Yeah, that's the way it seems to me, and I told her that. She said our job was just to find the girl and the baby, and that's all.
Cooperation like that isn't going to make it any easier, is it? We can only do so much if she isn't going to help us.
Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Her filing the report and then holding out information.
Yeah. I may better get over and talk to her again. See if we can get the whole story. How about Graham and Bailey? You heard from them?
No, there's a note in the book. They got a lead on Bender. Graham said they were going to run it down for us this morning.
Uh-huh. What time you got now?
9:43.
I want to talk to the skipper. Make arrangements to put a picture of the Shipley girl on suspects wanted this afternoon. Might be able to turn something, huh?
Sure, a lot of loose ends.
Yeah, I get it. Missing persons, Friday. Yeah, Graham. Mm-hmm. Where? What'd she say? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's about the same. Mm. What? Yeah. Well, you want to call the crime line? Right. No, we'll meet you out there right away. Right, bye. Well, they found where Bender was living.
What do you mean, was?
Checked out last June, about the same time the Shipley girl disappeared. Landlady hasn't seen him since. Guys came up with something else.
Yeah.
A couple of shirts for a baby.
Uh-huh.
Bloodstains all over him. A.M. We got to the apartment where Bender had been living. The crew from the crime lab were there, and they were photographing the room and the clothing that had been found. Sergeant J. Allen told us that he'd have to run a precipitate test on the stains before he could tell whether or not they were of human origin. 10:45 a.m. They finished their investigation on the scene, and they went back to Central Station to compile the results. Frank called the office, and a local and an APB were put out on Cliff Bender, asking that he be picked up as a possible suspect. We also had his card flagged in the record bureau. We talked to the landlady of the apartment building, and she told us that Bender had left his apartment hurriedly one night about the middle of June. She was unable to tell us the exact date, but she did go on to say that she'd been getting a check for the rent each month. We asked her if she could show us either one of the checks or an envelope that it had come in. She explained that she'd thrown the envelopes away and had cashed the checks. She was unable to tell us where they'd been mailed from. She said that as far as she knew, she'd never seen the Shipley girl in Bender's apartment. We asked her to notify us immediately in the event that the suspect returned. We put in a call to the bank where the rent checks were cashed, and we asked that they give us the information on them. 1:30 p.m. Frank and I went over to the crime lab, and we talked to Jay Allen. He told us that the stains on the baby clothes were human blood. He showed us the photographs taken, but there was nothing in them that would give us any lead as to either the girl's or Bender's whereabouts. That afternoon, the picture of Harriet Shipley was telecast over the police program. We got several calls from citizens who said that they'd seen the girl. We checked them all out. One of the callers, a bus driver, told us that he'd seen the girl and the baby on his bus during the month of June, and that she'd gotten off in San Diego. We alerted the police in that city to look for her. Thursday morning, Frank and I checked into the office. You want to check the book, Frank, see if there's anything from San Diego?
Right.
I got it. Missing persons, Friday. Yes, that's right. Yes, we did. Uh-huh. Where? You sure about that? Right away. Mm-hmm. Frank, get your coat.
What do you got?
Shipley girl. They found her.
You are listening to Dragnet, the authentic story of your police force in action.
Meet the Tom Harmons. You know Tom is an all-American, and now a top sports announcer. Mrs. Harmon is the motion picture and television star Elise Knox. They're typical of people everywhere who are saying, Chesterfield's for me.
I like regular-sized Chesterfields. Have for years. They're best for me, at least I think so, because of that Chesterfield quality.
That's the way I feel about them, too. I've always smoked Chesterfields. Now I go for the king size. Guess I like a longer smoke.
So whether you smoke regular size, like Elise Knox, or king size, like Tom Harmon, enjoy America's most popular two-way cigarette. Chesterfield's for me. You hear it everywhere. The Chesterfield you smoke today is the best cigarette ever made. For the taste you want, the mildness you want, join the thousands now changing to Chesterfield.
The call had come from a nurse at the State Mental Hospital in Camarillo. She told me that they had a patient who resembled the photograph of the missing girl as televised on our police program. Frank and I left the office and drove out to the hospital. We talked to the nurse and to the doctor who was taking care of the sick girl. From personal effects and the scars on her wrists, we were reasonably sure of the identification. The doctor told us that the girl had been committed on July 17th by her sister under the name Harriet Lavin. He told us that the girl was undergoing treatment, but that there was little hope for a complete recovery and that it would be some time before she could be permitted to leave the violent ward. We tried to talk to her, but we were unable to get any coherent answers. We asked about the baby, but the authorities were unable to give us any information. We got the name and address of the sister who'd committed the Shipley girl, and we drove down to San Diego to talk to her. It was a small place in a wartime housing development. The paint was peeling off the plyboard walls, and the front yard was overgrown with weeds. The woman who answered the door identified herself as Pauline Lavin.
Sure, what do you want to know? Don't make no difference now. You go back and tell her it's too late. Way too late.
Tell who, ma'am?
Mrs. Shipley, Harriet's mother-in-law. You go back and tell her she done it good. There ain't nothing left to do to Harriet. It's all been done. You can tell her that.
Well, we don't work for Mrs. Shipley, ma'am. We're trying to find out what happened to your sister and the baby.
Who asked you to find out in the first place? It was her, wasn't it? Wasn't she the one?
She filed the report.
Well, that's what I mean. Well, you go back and tell her there's nothing more she can do to Harriet or the baby or Big Jerry. Nothing at all she can do.
Where is the baby, ma'am?
He's not here.
Do you know where he is?
Yes, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell anybody. I promised Harriet I wouldn't tell, and I'm going to keep the promise.
Ms. Lavin, we don't want to hurt your sister. We're just trying to get to the truth. Now, maybe you better tell us what you know.
You ain't doing this for old Miss Shipley?
No, ma'am.
All right, then. I'll tell you, but not for her. I wouldn't give her the right time of day. She's the one that did it, the whole thing. You can lay it right at her feet.
All right, you want to tell us about it?
Since they got married, she's given the kids trouble. Right from the first she heard about it. Said that Harriet wasn't good enough for her son. Said Harriet was cheap. Didn't make any difference to the kids. They got married anyway. They were in love, so they got married.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as Big Jerry went overseas, she started on Harriet to get an annulment. All the time writing her letters telling her how cheap she was. That if she really loved Jerry, she'd get an annulment. And she found out about the baby, so she started saying how they should get a divorce.
Does Harriet's husband know about this, would you know?
Sure. All along he knew it. He didn't like it. Told his mother to stay out of their lives. Kept telling her, but it didn't do any good. None. Then Harriet got the wire. The one that told about Big Jerry being dead. Almost killed her. I thought it was going to. They was really in love. It isn't often you see something like them two. Real love. The kind you live, not the kind you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
One night, right after she got the wire, she got a phone call from San Francisco. From old Miss Shipley. She told Harriet that she was going to the court to take the baby away from her. Said she could prove Harriet wasn't a good mother and she didn't deserve to have the baby.
Was Harriet living here at the time?
No. Well, she'd come down every weekend, but she wasn't living here. There was a guy up in L.A. that was giving her trouble. A fella named Bender, I think. He was with her when she tried to kill herself. He ran out so he wouldn't get mixed up in it. He was always giving Harriet trouble, so she left one night to get away from him and old Mrs. Shipley. She came down here and said that she just wanted to be left alone with her baby. That's not a lot to ask, is it? Just to be left alone?
No, ma'am.
It was for old Mrs. Shipley. She just wouldn't let Harriet alone. Kept after her saying how she was going to take away the baby. How Harriet was an unfit mother. Kind of got in her mind. Finally, there wasn't much else she was thinking about but how to keep her baby. She went out walking one night. Took the baby with her. Rained. Rained real hard. I guess the baby took cold. Anyway, the next day he came down with a bad fever. A couple of days later, he was dead. Not even a year old, and he was dead.
You want to go on?
Harriet sat around for a week. Didn't say anything. Didn't do nothing, just stare at the wall. Didn't even cry. Just sat and looked at the wall. And all of a sudden, she just fell apart. I called the doctor. Said it was a breakdown and said I should have her committed. I signed the papers, and that's where she is. I went up to see her. She didn't even know me. I'm her sister, and she didn't even know me. So you just tell old Miss Shipley how she did good. You just tell her what she did to my sister. Tell her how the baby's dead and she's finally got what she wanted because now Harriet hasn't got the baby. Nobody's got him. Nobody's got him. Nobody.
Come on, Frank.
Yeah. Where to?
Well, we'd better get back to town.
Guess so.
See Miss Shipley. We got back to Los Angeles at 9:30 p.m. We went directly to the hotel where Mrs. Shipley was staying. The desk clerk told us that she left word that she was not to be disturbed. He called the room and she asked that we come up. We took the elevator to the 7th floor and we walked down the hall.
Good evening, Sergeant Friday. Officer Smith, come in.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm just having a drink. May I fix you one?
No, thank you.
How about you, Mr. Smith?
No, thank you.
You don't mind if I go ahead?
No, ma'am, not at all.
Just sit down, and I'll be right with you.
Thank you.
Desk clerk said it was important.
Yes, ma'am.
You found my daughter-in-law?
Yes, ma'am.
And the baby? Where is he? Is he still with her?
No, ma'am, he's not.
Where is he?
Your daughter-in-law's pretty sick, Miss Shipley.
Oh?
Yes, ma'am. She's in the state hospital up at Camarillo.
Camarillo?
Yes, ma'am.
That's a mental hospital, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about Harriet, but I knew she wasn't very stable.
Why didn't you tell us your son was dead, Mrs. Shipley?
I didn't think it had any bearing on the thing. What difference does it make?
You don't seem to be very interested in his wife.
I'm going to be honest with you, Sergeant. I'm not. Not in the least interested in what she does or where she is. I never did feel she was the right girl for my son, never. When the baby was born, I tried to go along with it. I tried to be nice to her, and she wouldn't have it. She wouldn't even be friendly. She poisoned my son, turned him against me. She's a terrible woman. Just terrible. Whatever's happened to her is just exactly what she's got coming. Naturally, I'm sorry it's the way it is, but there's nothing I can do. All I'm interested in right now is my grandchild. I want him. And if I have to go to court to get him, then I'll do it that way.
That won't be necessary, ma'am.
Where is he? I'd like to go and get him now that Jerry's wife can't take care of him.
He's dead, ma'am.
If this is some kind of a joke that you're making up to help my daughter-in-law keep him, it won't work.
It's no joke. It's the truth. He died in a hospital in San Diego.
It's not right. It's not right that he's dead. She did this. Harriet. She did it to get even with me. I know she did.
We're sorry, Miss Shipley.
First my husband, then Jerry. I haven't got anybody. I'm all by myself. Isn't anybody in the world who cares? Nobody.
No, we're sorry, Miss Shipley. I wish there was something we could do.
No, you're not. You're like the rest of them. Well, it's Harriet. She's the one. Nobody else to consider in this mess. Just her.
What about the baby?
The story you've just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.
On Thursday, August 14th, a meeting was held in the office of the Captain of Homicide, Los Angeles Police Department. In a moment, the results of that meeting.
Now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you, George Fenneman. You know, the Chesterfield you smoke today is the best cigarette ever made, and best for you. Now, that's a fact. And to my way of thinking, it's the very reason for you to change to Chesterfield. Try them either way, regular or king size. If you try them, I think you'll say with all of us, Chesterfield's for me.
At the meeting held in Captain Lorman's office, it was decided that no criminal act had taken place and the case was officially marked closed. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department. Technical advisors, Captain Jack Donahoe, Sergeant Marty Wynn, Sergeant Vance Brasher. Heard tonight were Ben Alexander, Herb Vigran, Carolyn Jones. Script by John Robinson. Music by Walter Schumann. Hal Gibney speaking.
Watch an entirely different Dragnet case history each week on your local NBC television station. Please check your newspapers for the day and time. Chesterfield has brought you Dragnet, transcribed from Los Angeles.
Filter tip smokers, this is it. L&M filters, the one filter tip cigarette with plenty of good taste. Much more flavor, much less nicotine. The right length for effective filtration. Only the L&M filter contains the miracle product, alpha cellulose. The purest material for filtering cigarette smoke. Yes, this is it. As Rosalind Russell puts it, L&M filters are just what the doctor ordered. Buy L&M filters, the light and mild smoke.
Hear Rocky Fortune following John Cameron Swayze and the news on the NBC Radio Network.
Well, here we are, Dad. Happy fishing.
Thank you, son. Thank you. I can't wait to get my line trailing in the ocean. Today's the day, son.
Ah, yeah. Pretty calm out there, Dad.
Oh, the tuna will be running. They've got to be. Ever know me to go after anything I didn't get? I'll be seeing you, son. Wish me luck.
Well, I already did, but once more won't hurt. Good luck, Dad. I hope you can sell the tuna on the idea of being out there when you get there.
Oh, they'll be out.
Looks like there's only one fishing boat left. All the others must have gone out already.
Only need one, you know, son. See you at dinner. Bye.
Bye.
But tell the cook to be prepared for a big one, Arthur. I'll be home about 3 o'clock. Ahoy there. Ahoy, the fishing boat. Ahoy.
Ahoy yourself. What do you want?
My name is Cakes, Millard Cakes. I'd like to hire your boat to go fishing.
Sorry, can't do. Try some other boat.
But there are no other boats. They've all left. You're the last one here. I'll pay you anything you want. I've got to go fishing this morning, and you've got to take me.
What's going on here, Captain Smith?
This man here.
Now, my name is Cakes, Millard Cakes. Gentlemen, there's no question at all about this. You've got to take me fishing.
He wants to hire our boat, Iggy.
Didn't you tell him it was already hired?
Hired? So what? So somebody's paying. I'll pay you double. Gentlemen, I always get what I want, and right now I want to hire this boat. I won't listen to any arguments, gentlemen. I simply must go fishing this morning, and you simply have to take me. Let's have no further discussion about it.
Iggy, listen.
Right, Jefferson.
You, Mr. Case, go take a walk or something. I want to talk to my mate.
Well, you just tell him to get ready to shove off. I'll be right over here.
Iggy, we got to take that old character aboard.
But, boss, how can we? You know we got a job to do this morning.
I know, but suppose he sticks around and sees that we shove off without anybody else coming aboard.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to know where the guy is who hired us.
That's right.
This Case guy is used to having his own way.
Uh-huh.
We can't take a chance on his raising the roof around here. That'll be followed by questions. And we can't stand questions.
Don't I know it.
We're going to take him out, Iggy. He wants to go fishing. Okay, we'll take him fishing. Only we don't make any contract to bring him back.
Oh, Captain Smith, how far out are we?
We're pretty near the spot where the tuna's running, Mr. Case.
Well, I'm all ready for the tuna when they start to bite.
Nice rod and reel you got there.
Oh, it's the finest. I paid... Oh, Captain Smith, I've got something on my line.
Tuna, probably. Well, reel it in, Mr. Case. Careful, she may give you a fight.
Oh, I'll be careful, all right.
I'll give it plenty of play. Let it tire itself out. See that it doesn't tire you too much.
Oh, don't you worry about me.
Iggy! Iggy, come up on deck.
Yeah, Captain.
But goes. Our client is very happy. He's busy hauling in his first strike of the morning. And we wasted enough time.
I'm ready whenever you are.
That's right now. Let's go back to where he is.
You two are just in time. I've almost got him in. Watch me.
We sure will, Mr. Case.
Another 10 or 12 feet and he's all mine. You won't be sorry you took me out this morning, gentlemen. Believe me, you won't be sorry.
We won't be, but you will. Okay, Iggy, over he goes.
No,
over
it
is, Captain.
Keep. Don't! Don't! Please don't!
Well, we did it, Captain. And that gets rid of him.
Yeah. Can't help wondering, though, how big that tuna was that he hooked.
I could stop typing these notes anytime you want me to, Ranch. No trouble at all. Wouldn't mind it a bit.
Stop anytime you like, Ellen. There's no rush on those.
I'm glad. What's the matter, Vance? Your private office too small for you?
You mean, why am I out here with you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Ellen, you're too modest.
Oh, don't tell me it's me that brought you out. I couldn't believe it, but believe me, I try.
It's a combination of you and the fact that I haven't anything unusually interesting to work on today, Ellen.
The district attorney has let you down. Hasn't let you in on a new murder case in days. Remind me to speak to Mr. Markham when I see him.
When you see him, it'll undoubtedly be because he's here about a new murder. And in that case, speaking to him won't be necessary.
Vance, please stop making sense.
It's a habit I'd just as soon not break, Ellen.
I used to make it a habit to win arguments. But, of course, that was before I started working for you.
You know, it's amazing.
Hello, Ellen, Vance.
Oh, hello,
well,
Mr.
hello,
Markham.
Martin. Come in.
Thanks. Come in, Mr. Case.
Right.
Vance, I must see you in your private office immediately.
Well, by all means, come in, both of you.
Thank you. Vance, this is Arthur Case. You've undoubtedly heard of his father.
Oh, Millard Case? Yes, I've heard of him. How do you do, Mr. Case?
How do you do?
Please sit down.
Thank you. Vance,
Millard case has disappeared.
What?
Yes, that's right, Vance. I drove my father down so he could go fishing this morning, and he was due back at 3 o'clock, but he hasn't returned.
Any report of any accidents to a fishing boat?
None at all. We think perhaps he never did get on a boat. As I understand it, he got to the dock rather late this morning. All I know is I drove him there and he hasn't come back. Vance, you've got to find my father. I'll pay anything you ask.
We'll discuss payment later, Mr. Case. What dock did you drive your dad to?
The Summers docks, Vance. The foot of Dobbs Street.
Foot of Dobbs Street, eh?
Yes.
Well, then, I'm off to the foot of Dobbs Street to get a head start on this case.
Okay, Iggy, cut it down. There's the buoy we're looking for.
Right, Chip.
Thanks. Now we stick around till a friend of mine shows up in his boat, and we'll get what we came after.
Well, suits me if he hurries. How about you, Captain?
He'll be here. He couldn't very well have that old Case guy around when we grabbed this stuff, could we, again?
No, sir. He's better off where he is anyhow. Chances are he caught a lot of fish in his time. Maybe by this time some fish caught him.
Poetic justice of a sort at that.
Huh?
Never mind. Well, this is where we park till our friend shows up.
Well, I'll throw the anchor overboard.
Do that.
Here we go. How much is he bringing this trip, Cap?
About $20,000 worth. All perfect. All blue-white. All diamonds. And all coming in without paying a dime in duty.
Good.
Our friend will pass in his boat, throw him in the dory in back of ours, and we're off. You know, McGee, this is real fishing.
Okay. All right, mister, just hold the fish up with your right hand.
Like this?
Yeah, that's right. Keep your rod and reel in your left and smile.
All right.
Smile pretty for the camera.
All right,
smile.
Good.
Hold it. Got it.
Oh, good.
Come back in an hour. I have one copy for you and a print for the doc file.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's see. I gotta develop that batch for the guy who's gonna...
I beg your pardon. Huh?
You can't want to see me. Where's your fish? Everybody what talks to me has a fish they want me to take a picture of. Most times the fish are prettier than the people. Where's your fish?
Well, I don't have one at the moment. Apparently, you're connected with the fishing dock in a camera capacity. But maybe you can give me some information.
Pal, I'm so unused to talking to anybody without a fish in their mitt, I'm practically tongue-tied. You sure you ain't got a fish?
I'm positive. My name is Vance, Philo Vance. I'm a private investigator.
You sure are. I heard about you, Vance. What's up?
If a man came down here at 10 o'clock this morning and wanted to go fishing... what boats would be available?
What boats?
Yes.
No boats. All of them are out by then. They're out and I'm sleeping. Time to get back, I'm here with my camera ready to shoot pictures of anybody who catches anything over 2 pounds. I bet I made 1,000 pictures this year already.
People are vain about their catches, I know.
Vain? They're out of their heads. Catch a fish, take a picture. Catch a fish, take a picture. I bet we got 10,000 pictures of guys and fish they caught and where they caught them, how they caught them, what boat they were on, how much the fish weighed, how much they weighed. Honest, Vance, you never saw so many guys fish foolish.
Well, fishing's a great sport and a lot of people enjoy it, my friend. Tell me this.
Yeah?
If one boat did happen to be around at 10 o'clock this morning, who would know what boat that was?
See that shack across the street?
Yes.
Belongs to Captain Smith. His boat's called the Daisy. He goes out a little late some days. Ask him. Maybe he can help him.
Thank you. I will.
Anytime you grab a fish, Vance, and you want a picture taken, don't forget me. You get him on the line, I get him on film.
Thanks. I'll remember that.
Yes?
I'm looking for some information. You're Captain Smith?
So?
I'd like to know two things. What time did your boat pull out this morning, and were there any other boats around at the time?
We shoved off at 9:45. We were the last boat to leave. At all?
Well, yes, I suppose so. Thank you very much.
That's all right.
Hey, who was that, Cap?
Didn't give his name, McGee. And he didn't have to. I recognized him. That was Philo Vance.
Hey.
Young Mr. Case here gave us a good tip.
Yes, I did. I knew he'd be down here checking my father's disappearance. Glad I warned you two in time.
Hey, look, kid. You know, when that old guy came to us on the dock, we didn't realize it was your father or we would have taken him with us. You know that, don't you?
I know it, Smitty. I didn't know it was your boat at the dock or I never would have suggested he take it when I dropped him off.
Okay, as long as that's understood. We told the old guy we wouldn't take him. He slung his rod over his shoulder and started walking.
saying something about he'd find somebody to take him out.
Well, he's gone, that's all I know. And for that matter, that's all I care about. I own everything all by myself, now that he's gone.
Well, look, let's forget your old man and get on to this business here. You got the stones we got from the buoy. You got the cash like you're supposed to have?
Yeah, of course I have, Piggy. Now, right here. I ought to get rid of these stones for about $30,000. I pay you guys $20,000, right?
That's right.
Here you are. And now that I'm in the chips, I'm through with this racket. Smuggling's too dangerous. In fact, it's completely ridiculous now that I'm to inherit all Dad's money. So this, gentleman, is our last transaction.
You're being a little hasty, aren't you, young fella?
No.
You gotta have somebody sell these stones after we get them. You've been doing fine up to now. You're sticking with us whether you like it or not. And don't get any ideas about quitting. We wouldn't like that, would we, Iggy?
No, Cap. We wouldn't like it at all.
You two don't bluff me. I'm walking out of this racket, and if either of you thinks he can do something to stop me, I'll do something you really won't like.
Follow Vance's office, Miss Deering speaking.
Ellen, this is Vance.
Oh, hello, Vance. Mr.
Ellen, Mark... I think I'm on the track of something in the case disappearance. I don't have time now, but you call Mr. Markham.
I've been trying to tell you, Vance. Markham's right here. He's been waiting for
you. Good. Let me talk to him, please.
Just a second. Please pick up that phone, Mr. Markham, will you? It's Vance.
Why?
Have you got it, Mr. Markham?
Okay, Ellen. Yes, Vance. Markham, I guess I live right or something. I have a lead on Mr. Case's disappearance.
If you do have, it isn't because you live right. Because you have the uncanny faculty of noticing the slightest incongruities in a case, Vance, and a wonderful way of analyzing their meaning.
If I'm that good, I'd better stop right now. Can't do any better than that, can I?
You can do much better. You can find Mr. Case, or whoever it is that's responsible for his disappearance.
I don't believe we'll ever find Mr. Case, Marker. I think he's been murdered. But I also think I have a pretty good idea of who murdered him and why.
District Attorney Markham. We are now working on the disappearance of Millard Case, wealthy, eccentric father of Arthur Case, who reported to us that his father was missing. After speaking to a photographer who specializes in pictures of fishermen, and after talking to a Captain Smith who owns a fishing boat, Vance is of the opinion that the elder Case has been murdered and believes he knows who did the killing. Right at the moment, I have finished talking on the telephone with Arthur Case, who is at home, and as I understand it, he's...
Well, Smith, what do you and Iggy want in my home?
It won't take us long to tell you. Case, we don't like what you said when you were down at my shack this afternoon.
No? In fact, we don't like a lot of things.
That's right.
Like, for instance, how your old man happened to come down to the dock while ours was the only boat around.
Well, that's one of the things that brought you here.
Case, let's understand each other. You drove your old man to the docks knowing he was a stubborn guy who wouldn't take no for an answer. About going out on my boat, I mean. You knew we'd have to take him or he'd start asking too many questions. You knew if we took him, we couldn't bring him back because we had to pick up those diamonds.
And you also knew we'd have to bump him and you'd have that on us.
That's right. It was getting rid of my father and getting something on both of you at the same time. Kind of cute, I thought.
We don't think so. In fact, we don't want anybody around who can throw a murder rap at us, so
grab him, Iggy.
I got him.
No, you don't. I'll yell for the servants here.
Well, I'm glad you smacked him on the head, Cap. I couldn't have held him much longer. What do we do with him now?
We tie him up and carry him out of here, then dump him in the ocean.
Yeah, suits me. There's some fishing line over here in this room. I'll get it.
You know, I think this young fellow was trying to double-cross us all the way. That's the reason he got Philo Vance in on the case. He figured Vance would find some lead to us.
Well, how could he, Cap?
He can't. There is no lead to us or our boat, Iggy. Believe me. Go ahead, start tying.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
What for?
We can't take a chance of being seen carting a body out of this house. Nobody saw us come in, but we may be spotted leaving. Give me your knife.
Sure, Cap. Yeah.
Why are you turning your head away, Iggy?
Can't you stand seeing me stab the kid?
No, it ain't that, Cap. Believe me, it ain't. It's just that later on, if somebody asked me, did I see who killed young Case, I could say no, and I wouldn't be telling a lie. You see, Cap, if there's anything I hate in this world, it's a lie.
Well, Vance, there's young Case, stabbed.
Mm.
Looks to me as if somebody wanted to wipe out his entire family and has pretty well succeeded.
I wouldn't waste too much sympathy on him, Markham.
What's that?
Thanks for calling and getting me up here, though. It simplifies things quite a bit.
How do you mean?
Young Case told us he drove his dad to the fishing dock yesterday morning. He wouldn't have left him there if there weren't a boat at the dock that could conceivably have taken his father.
The father wouldn't have stayed either, for that matter.
That's right. That means there was a boat. But Case wouldn't tell us that. And you know why not?
No.
Because if he had, he knew we could have traced the boat. And that's the last thing he wanted to have happen.
You mean he planned his father's disappearance?
I'm relatively certain now that he knew what would happen to him if his father, who, as we know, was stubborn, insisted on getting on the one available boat. Markham, did you ever hear of a Captain Smith?
Only what you told me.
Well, we're going to find him. And I think we're going to have to rent a launch to do it. Feel equal to a little boat trip?
Definitely.
It's kind of a fishing trip, but don't bring a rod and reel. Just bring your revolver. We'll need it to coax our fish into shore.
A little further out, Iggy. We drop anchor and wait. We ought to make contact in about 20 minutes, I figure.
We're a little ahead of time, huh, Cap?
Better to be early than late. If we weren't here, our contact wouldn't come back. He'd be scared. Now all he has to do is come in by his boat, throw a package in that dory we got in the water, and keep going.
You know, I'm kind of glad we got rid of that young Case, Cap.
Oh, my.
Now we got only the two of us to split the take, and we don't run no risk of nobody finding out we tossed the old guy overboard. Huh?
That's right, Iggy. Perfectly right. Cut the motor.
Aye, aye, sir. Well, I'm getting just like a regular sailor, Cap, huh?
You'll do, Iggy. Hey, there's a boat coming our way.
Where, Cap?
Off the port bow.
Well, say it in English. I ain't that good a sailor yet.
Off the front of the boat to the left.
Yeah, I see it. Is that the boat we're waiting for?
No, I don't think so. I'll take a look through these glasses. Ah, it isn't the boat at all.
No?
There's two guys in this one, and one of them is Philo Vance.
What do we do, boss? Run for it?
Why should we? We're in the clear. Why give them something to think about?
All I know is that they must want something coming all the way out here to look for us.
We don't know they're looking for us.
Ahoy there aboard the Daisy.
He's looking for us, all right.
Ahoy! You want us?
That's right. There we are. We're coming alongside.
What do we do, Cap? What?
We keep quiet and let them do the talking. We'll find out in a minute what they want.
Are you Captain Smith?
That's right.
I'm District Attorney Markham. We want you on shore, Smith. Get going.
What do you want me for?
I can tell you that, Smith, when we get to shore. Remember me?
Sure, you're Vance.
That's right, he's Philo Vance. Now start your motor, back off a little bit, and head for shore. We'll follow you in our boat, and don't try anything tricky.
Okay, if you want us ashore, we go ashore. Start her up, Iggy.
Start swinging around, and then head for the shore.
Hey, we better do it, Cap. That guy's got a gun, and you said he's got nothing on us.
No, I'm not sure. Get all the speed you can get out of that motor, Iggy.
All right, Cap.
Complete the turn, but instead of heading for the shore, head for that boat and get it right in the middle. We don't want to take any chances on either of those guys living.
Ram them, eh, Cap?
Ram them and get going now.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hey! Hey, keep away! They're going to run into us! So that's your idea, is it? We'll see about that.
You'll never get a chance to shoot again. Hold tight, Iggy. This is it.
All right, Cap.
Come on.
Here it goes.
That'll teach those two to keep their noses out of our business, eh, Iggy?
Oh, it sure will. Hey, Cap, any chance of their swimming to shore?
In this current, 6 miles out, not a chance unless they're part fish. Come to think of it, they will be part fish any minute now. Okay, Iggy, let's get moving. Maybe we missed our contact, but we took care of something a whole lot more important. Meet it that boat.
Aye, aye, Cap.
Here we are. I'll hop on the dock and tie us up. Hold on to the dock till I make the jump, Iggy.
Go ahead, Cap. We're steady as a rock.
There we are. Ah, to tie us up. Come on ashore, Iggy.
Okay. There I am, and glad to be here. You know, Cap, that's the first time I ever did something like that. Ram a boat on the water and knock off a couple of guys that way.
It really doesn't matter how you kill a man, Iggy. The results are always the same.
You're perfectly right, Captain Smith.
Hey.
Come on, Markham.
Hey, Cap, they're alive. The two guys we rammed. Let's get out of here.
So fast, young man, you're not going anywhere.
Don't let you slip on my mate, Vance.
I got a little return message for you.
You
get the call them off for a moment, Vance. I'm coming.
Wait, don't let you.
Don't get him, Cap. I want to see. My mind still. That did it.
Okay. Okay, Vance, I'm through. Don't hit me again.
Captain Smith is lucky. He's still able to talk. His mate is slightly unconscious.
Good work, Markham.
Hey. Hey, you two guys. Maybe you wouldn't mind telling me how you ever got to shore after we rammed your boat. You're supposed to be out in the middle of the ocean.
We would have been if we hadn't jumped overboard before your boat rammed us.
You simply swam underwater to your dory and held onto it while you very obligingly towed us back to shore.
So you see, Captain
Smith.
Well,
what's going on here? Oh, it's you, Vance. A little bit wet, ain't you?
A bit. Markham, this is my friend, the photographer.
How do you do?
Hi.
You've been very helpful on this case.
I have? Tell me how.
Tell me, too.
Later.
Hey, you want a picture of these two guys on the dock? I could take a snap of both of you, each holding one of the guys in your hands. Just like a fish picture. I'm so tired of snapping pictures of guys with fishes in their hands.
No, thank you. No pictures. But there is a resemblance between these two characters and the pictures you generally take.
Yeah?
These two poor fish thought they could get away with murder.
Using for bait. Perhaps that's the trouble.
Oh, do you have to use bait? Well, I guess I better start all over again. Beth?
Yes?
What was the clue in the murder case we just finished? How was the photographer helpful?
Don't you know?
How could I know? Even he didn't know.
Well, it was relatively simple. He told me he took pictures of every fisherman that caught a good-sized fish.
Yes?
And that there was a notation in the dock office about what boat it was caught from. I checked those records and found that a lot of fish were caught from a lot of boats this season, but none from the Daisy.
Captain Smith's boat.
Right. If Smith's boat hadn't been used to catch fish, it must have been used for other purposes.
Oh.
If, as we know, it left the dock late, and the late Millard Case insisted on going out on it, Smith would have had to take him out and have had to get rid of him, which is what he did.
Yes, I know that now from his confession. Case's son was in on the mess, too, wasn't he?
Yes, but I'd figured that. It couldn't have been coincidence that had him bring his father to the dock when no other boat except the Daisy was available. Young Case wanted to get rid of his father and get something on Captain Smith and Iggy at the same time. That's why they murdered him.
You'd think with all his money, he wouldn't have fooled around with men like that.
From what I understand, old man Case was pretty tight with his son. Young Case wanted some money to throw around, so he got in on the smuggling racket. Well, Ellen, want to continue fishing?
What do you mean, continue? I haven't even started yet. And there's no better time to start than at the end of a deep-sea murder case.
That's Case Closed for this week. You can, of course, find more from Dragnet and Philo Vance at RelicRadio.com. All our past episodes of Case Closed are available there as well, and all the other podcasts. Our Shoutcast stream is there, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, give that button a click. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.